Well, that depends. I don't know if the rumor's true. What'd you hear? Yes, yes, that is true. I do have a faculty parking spot. No, I'm not tenured yet, but I am working on that. I've garnered the respect of all the professors here. Some of them think I am a professor, and they call me Professor Zender. No, I did fudge about that. But that does have a ring to it. Professor Zender. You like how the I like the ers. I think I could really inhabit that role. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender once again. Oh, broadcasting incognito from Broward College in Davie, Florida. That's pretty interesting. A guy that's broadcasting incognito outside of these walls is recognized as one of the people. And out there, I am one of the people. And here, I'm taking over the world. I always liked those movies where you had the, like the wall, the old-looking warehouse. You know, it didn't look like anything on the outside. And inside, you had these sophisticated laboratories, or laboratories, if you will. And inside that building, nondescript building, they were taking over the world. I like that. This week, we're going to talk about Babylon. I'm going to talk about Babylon today, probably, because Babylon will be, I don't care, you know, this is it. Babylon will be the next world capital. I don't care how unlikely it looks now. What does this have to do with secrets in Daniel? Because Daniel and the wise men of Jerusalem and the rest of the people later were taken into captivity to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of the world. That's right, Leonardo DiCaprio was not the king of the world. He thought he was standing on the bow of the Titanic. That's the front of the ship, right? The bow? Yeah, good. But he wasn't. But Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the world, and Babylon was the original world capital. What was the tower called again where mankind attempted to congregate? Yes, that was the Tower of Babel. The word Babel means confused. And as smart as people think they are, as smart as King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was, and he thought he was very smart. By the way, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar as he raised up Pharaoh to discipline Israel and to take them into captivity. God warned them that, you know, if you forsake me, if you pursue other gods, I am going to discipline you, and I'm going to use other nations to do it. And the other nations that do it have no clue that they're enacting God's plan. This is where I told you yesterday we were going to talk about absolute and relative causes. I hate that. When people say God allowed this or that to happen. Because when you say that, you get the impression that the thing is starting somewhere else. For instance, if I'm working down here in Florida, let's say at an orange packing plant, and I have a conveyor belt in front of me, and there are oranges coming down the conveyor belt, and my job is to allow or disallow certain oranges. If I see an orange that's discolored or bruised, I'm going to take it out of the lineup and eat it myself. Ha, no, I'm not. I'm going to throw it away. So here's my question. If God is merely a checker on a conveyor belt, where's this stuff coming from? It has another source. Eh? Right? If he's only allowing things. In other words, he's making a judgment call. He's a baggage checker at the airport. At security. Homeland Security? Really? God is in charge of Homeland Security, of our security. He is in charge of our security, but he's not playing catch up. He's not responding to something someone else did, i.e. Satan. Well, Satan really threw God a curveball there, but God recovered. Look at him. I can picture an announcer at a baseball game. And Satan really did something there in the Garden of Eden. Adam has just fallen. Ladies and gentlemen, he did what God did not expect him to do. He actually ate of the fruit his wife gave him. And now, wait a minute. God is coming into the garden. He looks puzzled. Let's get a close-up of his face. Look at the anguish. His plans are trash. Now, wait a minute. God is returning to his office. He's going into a large file cabinet. He is going into a file. Let's get a close-up of that, Jim. It's Plan B. Thank God he has a savior in reserve for just such a contingency. Well, that's not how it is. Now, God is the source of everything. Romans 11:36. Out of him. Now this all applies to Daniel. This all applies to government. This all applies to your life. This is a secret in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had to learn. And I know most of you know it, but there are new listeners to the show. They need to know this. Romans 11:36. Out of him, through him, and for him is all. To God be glory for the eons. Amen. That is what I call the law of circularity. All is out of God. It says right there, all is out of him. All is out of him. If he's checking something at the belt of the orange packing plant or at the airport, it's only relatively speaking. Absolutely, the stuff originates in him. Everything originates from him. The oranges, the suitcases, your laptop. It came from God. Everything coming down the belt is from God. All is out of him. All is out of him. If there's anything in existence that is, it came out of God. That should be self-evident, but it's not to many people, because many people think that God has set the ball rolling and has abandoned his creation. And this is the gripe people have with government today. This is the gripe people have with bad circumstances in their own life. And we all gripe relatively. You know, we all gripe in the moment, like, oh, why did this have to happen? But hopefully you know. If you don't, I'm telling you now that all is out of God. It originated from him for your life. And he has not set the pot on the stove and left it cooking. It seems like he has. That's where we have to fly by our instruments. And our instrument is the word of God. We just have to trust Romans 11:36. All is out of him, and he is love, and all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. Yeah. Read all of Romans 8. You'll find that and many other helpful tidbits from God. So don't despair. Now, God might present himself as somebody who's allowing this or not allowing this, but he's the cause. And there's a verse in Job, I'll have to find it for you sometime, whether for his world or for his universe, he causes it to occur. Should have that reference. Read the whole book of Job, you'll find it. He causes it to occur. He causes it to rain on one city and not on another city. He's the ultimate cause. Don't give me this wimpy allows stuff, because you're trying to improve on God's resume. He doesn't need the help. Poor God. He just doesn't know how to tailor himself to the tastes of modern society. Let's help him with his resume. For God's sake, whatever you do, don't say that you create evil. We'll help you with that. You need to brush that up. It's too radical of a statement. Let's just say you allow it. I'm sorry, Isaiah 45, verse 7, God can speak for himself. I, the Lord God, create good and evil. I, the Lord God, do all these things. Active word, do. Let's talk about the city of Babylon. And to finish up the week, I want to talk about Nebuchadnezzar, and I talk about his realization, his startling realization that he wasn't king of the world because of his own ingenuity. Then I want to talk about God's instructions to Israel in Babylon. This is going to be meaningful for your life, or I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't teach it if it didn't help you in some way. Because again, as I said earlier, we are in a form of exile here. We're expatriates. We're not from this country. We're passing through. Talked about this in Hebrews. I don't belong here. Not just in this college, because I do feel I belong here. On this planet, I don't belong on the planet. It's foreign territory to me. And yet, it's essential. I have different thoughts on this. It's essential that we accept our lot and don't fight it, or else you'll go nuts. You know, okay, here I am. We're going to look at this in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah was a prophet of the exile. Nobody liked him because he prophesied bad things. He wasn't all rosy. He didn't weave cotton candy prophecies for his countrymen. He told them how it was, that God was going to discipline them. And the problem with Israel is they think this could never happen to us. And this is a phenomenon of modern times. You're going to find this in Daniel and in Revelation, that, and in modern day, today. People just don't think it can happen to us. As the prophecy in Peter goes, there are scoffers who say that things have gone as they have from the beginning of time. Nothing new's happening. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to us because we're good people. Well, they said the same thing in the days of Noah, and we are in days that Jesus Christ likened to the days of Noah. So what are we supposed to do while we're here? Interestingly, we get a clue from Jeremiah chapter 29. So this is my conflict. We want to be calm, and yet at the same time, I don't want to see you becoming content. Now, Paul says be content, Martin. You're telling us not to. Yes, but you need to be content within your discontent. You have to have some sort of discomfiture on this planet, or else I say you're too comfortable on this planet. You like it too much. Demas left Paul, 2 Timothy, because he loved the current eon. We're not supposed to love this world. We're supposed to hate it. Hate this world. That's scripture. So can you hate it and learn to live in it at the same time? Can you be relaxed within your stress of being away from home? Israel was in stress the whole time they were away from home in Babylon. And yet, under the umbrella of that broad stress, they were to go about their business, do their thing. That's what I want you to do. You can see that we're going to finish out the week with a bangaroo. And I love being here with you. As always, I remain your faithful friend, Martin Zender. Thanks to all of you who have helped me keep this show going on with your contributions. Thank you for all the wonderful comments you've been giving me on email. Keep them coming. I read every single one. A little slow getting back to you, but I love you all.